We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, you rode on the colt, the foal of a donkey, in order to proclaim that love and grace and mercy for each and every one of us. Today we celebrate your triumphant entry, knowing that it would lead to the shame of a cross, but to a glorious resurrection. Empower us this day with that grace that only comes from your gracious hand. Amen. James Bonham was a young lawyer, easy for you to say, from South Carolina. He had been in Texas, but only 3 months, when he volunteered to fight at the Alamo because he was related to the commander. Most of us know something about the Alamo, but on February 23rd, 1836, as General Santa Anna's army of 2,000 marched on the 182 men at the Alamo and preparing for battle. On that day, James rode out. He broke the enemy lines and he rode to find assistance. First to Goliad, Texas, where there he met one of the other commanders who refused to send troops to help him. And then by legend, he rode also to Victoria, Texas. And there too, no one was willing to fight. So what does James Bonham do? He rode back to the Alamo, broke through the lines once again, and there he went because he knew that he faced certain death. During Lent, and now in our Holy Week, we are again approaching those places that have significance in our Lord's journey, his passion. Sometimes this is called Passion Sunday, in which our Lord is willing to do for us what we cannot and will not do. During the 6 weeks, we have made stops at various places along our Lord's journey. And now in Holy Week, today we do the triumphant entry. We're in the upper room on Monday, Thursday. We go, yes, to that hill, Golgotha, on Good Friday. But it doesn't end there. We get to come back next Sunday to be able to rejoice in the power of the resurrection. We, throughout this Lenten journey, have been following Matthew's account. And today we once again hear from Matthew. We begin our walk today from Bethpage. We're there. It's just a short distance from the Mount of Olives. Jesus will now ride back into Jerusalem, back to fight, back to the battle, back to certain death. As he enters Jerusalem, the whole city is shaken. We read that in the text. This is a unique event. Here is Jesus riding on a foal of a donkey. We call it a triumphant entry. But what is triumphant about a certain death? Yes, the crowds are praising him. They're strewing their cloaks, their palm branches before him. But we know that's going to be short-lived. The question right in front of us as we take that journey into Jerusalem with him is the question that all of us need to ask. Who is Jesus? Thank you. At least one person's listening. So, when we ask that question, who is Jesus? We look down through the ages. If we get it right, we get everything right. If we get it wrong, we get everything wrong. There's no pressure. You see, some see Jesus as a therapist. He's there to assist us with life problems, tells us how valuable we are, and encourages us not to be too hard on ourselves. Some see Jesus as a coffee lover. Yes, there he is at Starbucks, having that morning coffee, having those spiritual conversations. Others see Jesus as a coach. Yes, he leads Christian athletes, makes Christian athletes run faster and jump higher than non-Christian athletes. And then there are those who see Jesus as just a hippie. He simply says, give peace a chance. Imagine a world without religion, and all you need is love. And then there are the spiritual guru that some see him as. Get out into nature, and there you will find God within you. Still others look at Jesus as simply a revolutionary. He teaches us to rebel against the status quo, stick it to a man, and blame everybody in the system for what is wrong. And then there are those who simply believe that Jesus is just a good example. He shows us how we ought to change the planet, assist little old ladies across the street. And of course, there's that famous line, yes, some see him as the plastic Jesus. If you remember the movie Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman sings that song, Plastic Jesus. And the lyrics include these words, well, I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I have my plastic Jesus. A plastic Jesus believer sees Jesus as a good luck charm, someone they can turn to when they need a little good luck or a favor. And enters Matthew. Who is Jesus? Matthew's quite clear. Jesus is our humble king who comes to serve. Yes, two disciples go into the village and they get that colt and they bring it to him. And when asked, they say, the Lord has need of it. Yes, as you read Matthew's account, he talks about, behold, the king comes to you righteous and having salvation, humble and riding a donkey. Those are the words from Zechariah, the Old Testament. In Matthew, he uses those words, but he leaves out righteous and having salvation. Both words appear frequently in Matthew's gospel, 117 times, 115 times. And what is Matthew emphasizing? That Christ attribute of humility. If we go to Matthew 11:9, we read, I am humble and lowly in heart. And of course, the donkey further accents Jesus' humility by not riding a horse, because a one with power rides a horse into the city and proclaims victory, but one who comes on a foal of a donkey comes in peace. Humble. Riding a donkey. Yes, our king becomes poor for us. His poverty grants to you and I riches. Riches beyond what we can imagine. This kind of king is worthy shouting about. And so we raise our palms. We sing the great songs of Palm Sunday as we remember that our king is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet, Jesus is a humble king. He uses authority to serve. Who does he serve? But each one of us. Again in Matthew, we read in chapter 21, verse 8, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when Jesus comes back to Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, he does not come back to be triumphant and king and lording over all, but no, Jesus returns to Jerusalem to fight, back to the battle, knowing for certain that he would die. His life was to be a ransom for many. The price of your salvation and my salvation would cost God's only Son. Luther said it this way, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, you and I have been ransomed. We have been paid for by the blood of Christ. And that's our good news as we begin this journey of Holy Week. Yes, crowds before him, laying down their garments and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means save us now. And then with their palm branches, an ancient sign of victory, they waved them. Yes, a mighty warrior coming as a humble king to serve you, to serve me, to serve all of mankind. Jesus is a radical prophet. He comes to shake things up. That's what prophets do. We oftentimes become lackluster, lethargic, lukewarm in our faith, and we become accustomed to the status quo. And prophets shake us up. Isaiah 20, verse 3 tells us, Isaiah walked around naked for 3 years. You want a little startling image? There it is. Jeremiah, in chapter 13, talks about how he buries his underwear. There's another image. And Hosea, in the book of Hosea, chapter 1, marries a prostitute named Gomer. Yes, prophets shake things up. And Jesus shakes things up. He allowed people to spit on him, to beat him, to impale him, and yes, ultimately to spike him to a wooden cross. Matthew 27, verse 31 states, the earth shook and the rocks split. And that will take us to the rest of the story of this week. There will be more shaking, there will be more trembling as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. Yes, this humble king, but is a mighty king who is not dead. Yes, he will die, but death cannot contain him. We often don't get it, and that's why it's important for us every year to return to this week where we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because without Jesus, we are nothing. That's who Jesus is. He's not our therapist. He's not our coach. He's not the plastic Jesus. He's your humble servant king. And he's going to shake things up. As we go through this week, as we live out our lives, we must be challenged by that question. Who is Jesus? And so I invite you with very full voices to repeat after me. Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ.
Is the best thing,
that ever happened to me.
Let's praise his name. Amen.